Thank you, worship team. Awesome. Awesome. Isn't it wonderful to come into his presence together?
Amen. Amen.
Okay, if you're going to give him a clap, give him a clap. Yeah. It's nothing like the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's precious. Well, I'm glad to see you all here this morning. You came just to listen to me, right? Makes me 15 below this morning when I left the house. And, I think my vehicle was feeling it a little bit because I got in and fired it up, no problem. And then we left for church. It was getting nice and warm inside, and all of a sudden, my SUV broke into the most wonderful smile. It just went, beautiful, happy face on my windshield this morning. My van was so happy because it was warm in the van now. Looking at me, what the heck is he talking about? My windshield cracked. Okay, here we go. Last week, we had a particular politician attend our ministerial meeting, and at one point in the meeting, we gave this person the opportunity to share, and then we prayed. And as we prayed, it was amazing. The presence of the Lord was there. But as we prayed, this politician, he broke down in tears and indicated this. No one has ever cared for me or my family in the way you have just cared for me. That was amazing. And all we did was we listened to him and we prayed for him. It was amazing. Tears. I was shocked. But it underscored for me the deep isolation this person was feeling. You know, I read an article this week, Robin Williams. How many of you know who Robin Williams is, the actor, the comedian? Everybody? Pretty well, everybody. And he said this. He said, I used to think the worst thing in life was to end up alone. But then he revised it and he went on to say, the worst thing in life is to be in a room full of people who make you feel alone. I thought about that for a while, and as you know, Robert Williams suffered from acute bouts of depression that ultimately led to his death. I shared with you 2 weeks ago that since the iPhone, the suicide rate among young girls has gone up 77%, and among young men, it's gone up 25%. And it struck me, from pastors to politicians, from famous actors and to teenagers, loneliness is everywhere. It's everywhere. And it seems we are more connected electronically than we've ever been, yet we are feeling more isolated than ever before. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way. And I believe God has raised up Grand Valley Christian Center for such a time as this. And I'll tell you, this thing has really been hitting me in the face everywhere I go. But I believe God has uniquely raised us up for such a time as this, because our vision at Grand Valley Christian Center is to be a community of believers. Say that with me, community of believers that exists to know him and to make him known. The kind of community that brings people to life-changing encounters with God. A community where people can experience the genuine love of God as expressed through you and through me that goes beyond a Sunday morning gathering. A community where relationships are formed and love is expressed in very practical ways. A community where we can grow together, where we can serve together, and where we can meet real needs in our community together. Amen? So in 2019, we are pursuing a vision of a community of believers. And starting on Monday, January 28th, from Monday, January 8th through Friday, February 1st, I'm calling the church to a week of prayer and fasting to ask God to pour out among us a move of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would pour pour out the love of God into our hearts in a new, in a fresh way to help us understand and walk into a fresh expression of community in 2019. Amen? You good with that? Let's come together for that week. And even as we've experienced the presence of God this morning, there's so much more. Amen? And let's come together. Let's open up our hearts. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come. And let's invite the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, right? And I need that. I need that to walk in the expression of what he's calling us to do, this idea of community in 2019. I need his love. And I'm calling us together that we, as a body of believers, and just spread the word for me, for those who aren't here this morning, that we as a body of believers would come, present ourselves before the Lord, say, Holy Spirit, fill us with your love for the purpose of expressing your love in 2019. So, sound good? All right. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And I've titled this talk this morning, Pursuing Community. And it's probably the first in, that I'll be sharing. Rudy started this off in the last week of December, and this will be continuing in a series of messages on this idea of pursuing community. So Hebrews chapter 10, and I want to read to you verses 16 to 25. And there we read, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." And then he adds, "In their sins, in their lawless acts, I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with sincerity of heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not give up on meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." Powerful. There's so much in this passage of Scripture. But Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence here among us. And we ask you that you would illuminate this word in freshness to us this morning. Begin to stir in our heart. Give us a fresh revelation of Jesus and what Jesus has called us to be and what Jesus has done for us so that we can begin to be that fresh revelation here in our community. So come, Holy Spirit, even this morning, as you've been moving, continue to pour the love of God into our hearts. Change us and shape us into what you're calling us to be in this season for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. So Hebrews was written to Jews who had come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, they understood the law, and they understood all of its requirements. That's what they grew up with. They understood the law. They understood the requirements, but they struggled to understand the freedom that they had through the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They struggled to understand this new covenant and all that it included. The rituals and the demands of the law is what they knew, and it is what they were familiar with. The law served its purpose in that, you know what, it exposed sin by revealing the inability of anybody to obey God's law. And the repeated sacrifices, my Bible's falling apart here, stay. The repeated sacrifices were an annual reminder of sin. It was an annual reminder of their sin and the fact that the sacrifice could never take away the guilt and shame of sin. nor could it open a way into his presence. Only the high priest and the high priest alone, and only once a year could he go into the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, to atone for the sins of the people. Now, I was reading that, I was thinking about that, I began to imagine for a moment what it must have been like. You know, constantly carrying the weight of the guilt and shame of sin, constantly being reminded of your sin and how you can never, ever measure up. Every sacrifice that was brought was a reminder of my sin and how I can never measure up. Imagine living under that. You know, actually, if we're honest, I think we do know what that's like. You know, because I think there's not a person on the face of the earth that doesn't inherently know this truth. From Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I think every one of us, deep inside, we know that. Just this week, I was talking to some people, and again, they said to me, I chuckle every time I hear this, but we're talking about church and different things, and what they said to me, man, we, our family, would never dare step foot in church. And they projected this kind of rough, tough image, you know, we're too cool to step into church, you know, and it was this kind of rough exterior. But as we talked, as I just asked, you know, I had the liberty to do that, I asked just a few kind of probing questions. And as we talked, it became evident that the root of that comment, it wasn't their tough exterior, the root of the comment was this fear. It was a fear of judgment and the fear of being exposed. If I go into that church, something, they don't even want to acknowledge God, but if I go into that church, God, who I don't believe in, going to see me and see who I really am, and he's going to squash me. This fear of judgment, and this fear of being exposed, and this fear of not being able to measure up. You know, we inherently know, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know that. That's there. And what happens as a result, and I saw it so clearly in these people I was talking to, it was a result. It's what we see in Genesis 3 and in 7 and in 10. We, like Adam and Eve, we hide. What did they do when they disobeyed God, when sin came? What was the first thing they did? They ran and hid. And we hide because we are afraid. It says they hid because they were afraid. God, we're afraid. And they cover themselves because they didn't want to be exposed. They found out that they were naked and ashamed. They found out they were suddenly exposed. And we hide. We do the very same thing. We begin to hide. We hide who we are because we are afraid. Just like these people I was talking to, we hide behind whatever exterior we're comfortable with, whatever exterior we want to put on. We put it on and we hide because of this fear of being exposed and being judged. We hide who we really are because we don't want the real me to be seen and to be exposed. You know, whether it's shame or embarrassment or pride, whatever it is that does that to us, we don't want to be seen, and so we cover ourselves. We hide. We cover ourselves with some kind of an image, and we are no longer open or free. We're no longer open or free. Rather, we try to live up to an image of what we think people want to see, or an image of what I think I should be like. You know, I dealt with it. When I started walking as a pastor, man, I'm supposed to act like this, and I'm supposed to act like that, and I'm supposed to act like this, and people told me I was supposed to act certain ways. I can't do it. I just got to be me, you know? But And the pressure of trying to live in this image, whether we've put it on ourselves or whether people have projected on you. But we're afraid, not willing to let people see the real me. Like Adam and Eve, we're afraid to be naked. We're afraid to be transparent, even transparent with God, transparent with each other. What will they think if they really knew who I was? What will they think if they really knew my struggles? What will they think if, and you can put, there's so many things there. Recently, I listened to a pastor, and he was sharing. And he said this most amazing thing, and it really grabbed a hold of me. He said this. He says, this is the pastor speaking. And he says, I long for a community where I could just be me. Wow. I had to go to the mirror and look at myself for a while and figure out, am I able to be who I am? I long for a community where I could just be me. He went on to say, for years he struggled with depression and loneliness. And his cover, what he covered himself with, his image, prevented him from talking about it and finding any kind of support because he was so fearful of judgment. I long for a community where I could just be me. I watched some of the posts on Facebook, people presenting this image of themselves, this exciting life, you know, the great pictures and this exciting life they leave. But often what you see is an exaggeration. It's a cover. I was listening to a talk on the radio, and the speaker was referring to a study, and I'm still trying to get my hands on this study, but I haven't been able to. But it was referring to a study that showed social media was a significant contributor to the rise in depression. And part of the reason for this was that people were comparing their lives to an image of what they see posted on Facebook. And you can't live up to that. And so people would compare their lives to this image and say, my life sucks, and just the spiral. They went on to say, when they got different people off of Facebook, a lot of times the symptoms of depression would either disappear or be alleviated significantly. My tongue is not working well this morning, but that's okay. You're understanding what I'm saying, right? All right. Because what they see, what's there is an exaggeration. It's a cover. And people are afraid, you know, to be honest, and partly because of the mean things people say. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. It just doesn't have to be that way. There is something different. There is something much better. And the author of Hebrews reminds them, and he reminds us, that because of their faith in Jesus Christ, they and we are part of something so much better. We're part of this new covenant. And he tells them that the barrier that prevented them and us from encountering God has been removed because of the shed blood of Jesus. And now we are, instead of covered with guilt and shame, now we have become the righteousness of God in Christ. And now we have full access into his presence without guilt or without shame. We don't have to cover ourselves. We don't have to be afraid to come. We can come. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, that which has prevented us from coming in, that sin that put on this guilt and shame on us has been removed, and now we have full access into his glorious presence. Amen? Oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Now it's not just one special person. Now we all have access into the presence of a holy God. Hallelujah. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, our sin is forgiven, and all the guilt and shame that it produced is removed, so we no longer have to cover ourselves by projecting a false image. Amen? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, I am free. I am forgiven, and I am free to be who he created me to be. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't have to cover myself anymore. I don't have to hide in shame. I don't have to hide because of guilt. I don't have to worry about walking into church and thinking God's going to squash me, because I have been set free. I've been forgiven. All my shame and guilt has been removed because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are free. We are free to be who God created us to be. Amen? I am free to be Ralph. I am free to be Ralph with all of my quirky dad jokes and dumb jokes and cracked windshield jokes that you don't get. I'm free to be that guy. Amen? I'm free to be that guy without guilt or shame. I am free to be who God created me to be. Dave, you are free to be exactly who God created you to be. Sandra, you are free to be who God created you to be. When we understand we are free, there's something liberating in that. Amen? I come into freedom. I don't know how else to say it. But there's something wonderful about that. I don't have to cover myself anymore. I don't have to hide anymore. I don't have to pretend to be something anymore. I can be who God has created me to be, because what he has created me to be is good and it's holy. What was lost has been redeemed because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And because of his blood, shame, I don't have to cover myself. Of course, we all know we're works in progress. And we'll touch on that in a minute. But I'm free to be who God has made me to be. Amen? We are forgiven. It is done. It is finished. We are free. Free to be what God has created us to be. And so the author of Hebrews continues. In the light of what Christ has done, he presents four resolves. First one is, let us. I love that. If you read through this, it doesn't say let me, nor does he say let you. It's always let us. Let us. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. And to draw near to God, now, I could do a whole sermon on what a sincere heart is, but let me just capsulize it, and if there's some things that you see could be added to that, wonderful. Let's add it. But to draw near to God with a sincere heart is to come to him in faith, believing that God is good. Amen? It is to come to him when we understand that God is, he is good, and he's got our best interest in mind. So it is to come to him without any pretense then. It is to come to him being open and honest with who I am and with where I'm at, with where you're at, with who you are. It's to come to him and share your joy, expressing your pain, your disappointment, bringing your questions. It's about being honest and transparent before the presence of a good and loving God. It's about walking in true freedom and not being afraid or ashamed. You know, if I can say it this way, it's to let the real you come to him in absolute confidence and faith, knowing that he loves you. And that he hears you, and that he will answer you. Amen? Hallelujah. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Let us. There's a vertical relationship of my sincere heart before God. But when he says, let us, that tells me there is also a horizontal relationship of my sincere heart with you and me. Let us. Let us with a sincere heart. And when we allow the barriers to be removed, when we begin to drop all pretense and simply relax and be who God created us to be, when we extend the same grace that God has shown me to each other, guess what? That's when true community can begin to happen. When we allow the barriers, when we begin to drop all of the pretenses, when we take our coverings off, so to speak, and simply relax and be who God created us to be, when we extend the same grace that God has shown me to each other, that's when community can begin to happen. Amen? That's where the kind of community can begin to happen that brings people to life-changing encounters with God. A community where people then can begin to experience the genuine love of God as expressed through you and through me. Because there's no guilt, no shame, no judgment. The barrier is gone. We are free. We're coming to God with a sincere heart, but we are also together coming in sincerity and in honesty. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. Amen? The writer continues. And he says, let us hold fast to the hope we profess. You know what? We don't hold on to hope this morning in desperation with white knuckled grips, but we hold on with full confidence in the reliability of God in his promises. Amen? We hold on fast with full confidence in the reliability of God in his promises. In other words, we hold on with faith. Amen? However, anybody thirsty? I am. Just being real. At the same time, you know, we hold on with all that, with this full confidence in God, but at the same time, there's stuff, and we don't need to tough it out alone. You know that? We don't need to tough it out alone. Many of the Jews who this letter was written to were struggling. They were struggling with the temptation to draw back from their devotion to Jesus Christ because of the persecution they were receiving. And it's not so different today, is it? We live in a cultural attitude of complete indifference to the Church of Jesus Christ. And as we exercise our faith, we can't help but confront cultural values, and it can be difficult. And so there is this real place and this real need for encouragement. And so the writer says, let us hold fast. And that tells me that God's intention was never that we face life alone. Right? God never intended that we should walk this walk of faith alone. Let us hold on. Let us hold fast. Let us walk in this place of confidence before God. Let us stir each other up. Let us encourage one another to walk in this place of confidence. God never intended, as the writer of Hebrews points out, that we should ever have to walk this walk alone. It was never his intention. And so the writer continues. He says, let us encourage each other. And I like how the Message Bible, the message goes, let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and in helping out. I love that. Let's see how inventive we could be in encouraging one another, in loving one another, in helping one another out. Isn't that awesome? Well, it's pretty quiet in here after that. See, when we are intentional in helping each other out and urging each other on, community begins to grow. A community where relationships, where doing life together are formed and strengthened, and love begins to get expressed in practical ways. Because it's just not a philosophy now. The writer of Hebrews is encouraging us to be intentional in putting into practice this idea of encouraging one another. And then he comes to, so let's not give up meeting together. Let's not give up on church. Amen? Let's not give up meeting together. Let's not give up on church, on this thing called church. Now, I understand that we are the church and the church is in a building. But in our society, we call this thing we do on Sunday going to church, so I'm just going with that. Let's not give up on this thing, church. Let's not give up meeting together. You know, I think the value of meeting together is getting lost in our culture. And I think it's in part because we really don't understand why we're getting together, what we're doing, and why it's important. Listen to what the author of Hebrews is saying. He says, don't stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Rather, let us consider, let us think of ways to motivate, to inspire one another, and to encourage one another to acts of love and good works. And again, this speaks of being intentional. That there is something that is deliberate and planned, something that is purposeful in meeting together. It's important to meet together. But in meeting together, we don't just meet because that's the religious thing to do on a Sunday morning. The author encourages that we should meet together, but do it with purpose and with intention. In other words, think about ways to empower. Think about ways to strengthen. Think about ways to motivate someone. Think about ways to lift each other up. You know, I was thinking, what would happen? What would happen to church culture if we came both with the desire to learn, but also with the purpose to intentionally build someone up in their faith in Jesus Christ? You know, I like what we do just before we go to the Word, to greet one another. And it's wonderful. It's just a piece of what we could be doing, you know? What would happen? What would our gathering be like if we came both with a desire to learn, but also with a purpose to intentionally build someone up in their faith in Christ, to intentionally encourage someone, to be purposed to listen to someone, to help someone grow, to pray with someone, to share your life with someone. You come with something to give. You know, each one of us has something to offer. That's what the Bible says, that each one of you come with the gift that you have. So come. Someone has this, someone has that, to build each other up. Let each one come. You know what would happen? I think instead of a Sunday morning service, we would experience something different, something bigger, something better, something, not a little better, that's maybe not the right word, but something more. I think we would begin to experience a supportive community where meaningful relationships can begin to be formed that then have the potential to grow beyond the week. Because if I'm sitting here and Elliot and I take some time for me to pray with Elliot pray with me, and I share something with Elliot that he's helping me with, he then can call me through, how's it going, Ralph? And we begin to support one another, and that support grows from just being a support to a friendship to a caring, and that's we begin. It goes beyond. It starts to. It has the potential to go far beyond just a Sunday morning handshake. We're pursuing community. There's so much loneliness everywhere, and I believe God has put given us the ability to deal with it, because he's brought us into this new place where we don't walk under shame and guilt, where we can be free. We can be free to be ourselves. We can be free to care, free to love, free to give, free to lift up. And people can come in. People can engage. And instead of loneliness, find companionship, if I can put it that way. Find a place. Find a community. Find a place of belonging where they can then come into freedom as well. Amen? And enjoy the freedom that the new covenant provides for us. Let's not stop meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another. Let's be intentional when we meet together to build up, strengthen, and encourage. You know, as I wrote that line, I was taken back to the very day God called me into ministry. And I still remember it. And as I was writing this, the banner came back. And when I was sitting on the couch and I was praying, and the banner said, this is what I want you to do. Build up, comfort, and encourage my people. And if I'm your pastor, guess what? Build up, strengthen, and encourage. That's our call. Our call is not to build the church. He'll do that. Our call is to build up, strengthen, and encourage one another. Amen? And what the author of Hebrews is pointing out is that part of this new covenant includes a new community that is characterized by love, by care, by support, and by encouragement. Amen? Hallelujah. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold fast. Let us encourage each other. And let us not give up on meeting together. Amen? Let us pursue the kind of community that God has called us to be so that we can answer and meet the real need our community, our province, our country, our nation, our world is facing, the issue of isolation and loneliness. Amen? Are you in? Hallelujah. So worship team comes. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Just want to say this. Maybe you've never received the forgiveness that Jesus gives. Maybe you're still under that weight of guilt and shame and that sin produces, and you know you're still under that covering. You're not free. Jesus died for you so you can be free of the weight of that guilt and shame that sin has produced, so that you can be forgiven of all of your sin, so that you can come into his presence and become part of his new community. If you want Jesus this morning, if you've never received that forgiveness, today you can. If you want to ask Jesus into your life, if you're here and you want to ask Jesus into your life, I'm just going to ask you quickly to raise your hand where you are, if there's anybody. So I'm going to believe that we've all done that. I don't see any hands anywhere. So this morning, I want to open up this altar. I believe there's two groups of people here this morning. I want to do something a little bit different. I believe there's two groups of people here. I believe there's some people here who could use some encouragement, could use some prayer, could use some support. Could have one or two, need some people to stand around with them. It's okay. I want to open up this altar to you. And I want you to come just as you are. Because there is another group of people here. And these groups of people will change from time to time. There's another group of people here who are in a strong place in the Lord. The Holy Spirit is moving through them. And they're in a place where they can be in an encouragement. They're in a place where they can be strength. They're in a place where they can just freely pour in and stand alongside. As Hebrews encourages us, let us together. And so what I want to do is, if you need prayer this morning, I want you to come and stand here at the altar. And if you're in a place here this morning where you feel you have something to give, that you can come alongside and stand and just pray with someone, I want you to come, and I want you to lay hands on someone, and I just want you to bless them. You don't have to ask them at this point in time what's going on or what. You just come and you pray as the Holy Spirit leads you to pray life and blessing and strength over that person, because that's what they need. No matter what situation people find themselves in, what they need is God to pour into them and give them the strength they need. So you don't need to know this morning. You don't need to know the details, because the Holy Spirit does. All you need to do is come alongside that person, lay your hands on them, and let the life and the love of God flow from you to them. Amen. Can we do that this morning? We've got a few minutes. So as the worship team leads us, if you need prayer, you come quickly. Come quickly. There's no shame. Remember, the covering is God. Be who you are. If you need prayer this morning, you come. And if you got something to give, then you come right away and come around that person. Amen? Hallelujah.